Well, let me say again what I said before the Bible class. I really am glad to be with you. Thank you for inviting me, and I hope that all your meeting, all the way through Wednesday night, will go well. I always enjoy coming, made friends with many of you as I visited with you from time to time, and I'm glad I can worship with you this morning. Glad to be with Jeff and Susan. I've known them a long time, longer than Jeff wants to tell you about. And if you've ever heard him talk about Uncle Thomas, well, Uncle Thomas is one of my best friends. And in fact, I had some texting back with him, back and forth with him this morning. And I'm thankful Jeff is with you. He does a good job, as you well know. This morning I want to talk about kindness. Sometimes we feel the need to define terms. I don't think we need to define kindness. We know when people have been kind to us. We know when people have been unkind to us. And the Bible teaches us to be kind to others. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, some of those things that make up the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is kindness, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. And then those things that are being supplied in our faith, 2 Peter chapter 1, one of those things is brotherly kindness. It's interesting that the word is Philadelphia, which we usually think of as being brotherly love. But most translations, the New English Bible is an exception. Or English Standard, but brotherly kindness. And then the verse that was just read for us, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Jesus has given us a beautiful picture of kindness. And I want us to start our study with that beautiful picture. I'm turning to Luke chapter 10. And what I'm talking about is this parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10. You remember a lawyer stood up and he asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Well, Jesus just turned it right back on him. What is written in the law? How do you read it? Well, the lawyer said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and you love your neighbors yourself. But he, wanting to justify himself, said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus, in answer to the prodigal son. Let's start with verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine. And he sat him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave him to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. There are 3 different philosophies found in that story. First of all, there's the philosophy of the thieves. What is yours is mine, and I'll take it. Then there's the philosophy of the priest and the Levite. What is mine, and I'll keep it. And then there's the philosophy of the Samaritan. What is mine is yours, and I'll share it. And that's the philosophy of kindness. What is mine is yours. It may be my talents, it may be my money, it may be whatever, but I'll share it with you because kindness. And I want you to think about the service of this Good Samaritan. First of all, it was compassionate. The Bible says so. He was compassionate toward him. It was courageous. Was it not possible that those same thieves were still hiding in those rocks and clefts, about to come out and attack anybody who might show kindness to the man that they have already robbed? It's personal. He pours in oil and wine. He bandages up his wounds. He puts him on his own animal. He takes care of him. There are things of kindness that we cannot do with a check. We have to get ourselves personally involved. It was kindness that crossed lines of prejudice. He was a Samaritan. The man who was the unfortunate traveler was a Jew. It expected nothing in return. The likelihood was that he would never see this man again. And he saw it all the way to the end, giving to the innkeeper money, take care of it. And if there's anything else that he needs, you supply it and I'll pay for it when I come back. That is a true picture of kindness. Well, somebody said, oh, I love that story. But wait a minute, the passage hasn't ended yet. Look on to verse 36. He now asked the lawyer, of which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. It's not just a matter of looking at this as a beautiful story of kindness. It's a matter of going and doing likewise. The Lord wants us to be people of kindness who are willing to help other people. Well, not only does Jesus give a parable to show us kindness, but Jesus himself, by his very conduct, shows us kindness. Let's talk about some people that he's kind to. Number one, he is kind to little children. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse 13. Then they looked that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus was kind, even to little children. The disciples tried to push them away. Jesus said, no. Don't ever forget to be kind to little children. It may have an impact that you would never think. When I was 4 years old, my dad moved the family to Jackson, Mississippi, where he preached. I started to school in a school called Bar School there in Jackson. I don't remember much about Jackson. My sister Lillian will often say to me, well, do you remember such and such that took place in Jackson? No, I just don't remember very much about Jackson. You know something I do remember? I was walking to school and a lady stopped me. And she said, your shoelace is untied, and I'm afraid you're going to trip over it and fall. And she stooped down and tied my shoelaces. I've never forgotten. But a kindness to a child. There's a brother over at Hughes Road in Madison, in the church there. His name is Mike Johnson. Some of you may know Mike. Mike was telling me that when he was a child, he was in the hospital. My dad bought a children's book and took it to Mike while he was in the hospital. He said, not only did your dad bring me the book, but he sat down and read it to me. Mike's never forgotten that. Don't forget to show kindness to little children. It makes a powerful impact on them. Jesus was kind to people who were unkind to him. You remember when they crucified him? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting with verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's Jesus. People were unkind to him. They threatened him, but he did not threaten back. And when you think about it, Jesus, with one lash of his tongue, could have just cut them right down. But wouldn't you be disappointed had he done it? Well, somebody said he sure wasn't kind to those scribes and Pharisees. He just called them over and over and over a bunch of hypocrites. That's not very kind. Well, go to Matthew 23. This is the chapter where over and over and over he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. But look at verse 37. Right after that, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you were not willing. Jesus, yes, over and over and over, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, but at the same time, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He cares about them. If there's such a thing as tough love, would there not also be such a thing as tough kindness? Let me illustrate it this way. I go down the street and all of a sudden there's a house on fire. I run in. I grab up somebody and pull them to safety. And in the process, I break his leg. Somebody said, that's unkind. No, I've been kind. I've been kind, even though he may have suffered as a result of my kindness. The book of Jude speaks of the fact that we don't approach everybody in the same way. On some we have mercy, others pulling them out of the fire. And if Jesus used terms like scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, it wasn't that he was wanting to be unkind to them. After all, he died for them. Let me say that again. He died for them. He wasn't being unkind to them. He was trying to snatch them out of the fire because they were so corrupt in all their conduct. And have you ever thought about the fact that the three of the sweetest parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, were spoken to scribes and Pharisees? He was kind. Even though sometimes he was very straightforward and able to reach the hearts of the people. Jesus was unkind to the handicapped. In fact, most of his miracles were to handicapped people. All of us need somehow to come to feel comfortable around handicapped people. When I moved to Florence, I was very fortunate to come into a congregation where there were three handicapped people. One was just a child. The other two were adults. And I got to where I was very comfortable around them. And it helped me to learn to be comfortable around handicapped people so that I can know how to be kind to handicapped people. And we need to get comfortable and learn kindness to handicapped people and not shun away from them, as so often you see people do, but to be kind. I think of Jesus, and let's make sure we understand, when Jesus performed a miracle, it wasn't as though he said, well, I've got to show I'm the Son of God, so I guess I'll perform a miracle. Well, he was compassionate. He cares. He loved those people. A blind man, beggar, in John chapter 9. A woman bent for 18 years, could not raise herself up. He healed her, Luke chapter 13. Kind to such people. I want you to go to Luke chapter 5. Here's one of my favorites of Jesus' miracles. Start with verse 32. Now it happened on a certain day, verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Can you picture that? Here's crowd is so stacked in there that they bring this paralyzed man. Another one of the passages said they bring him on a bed. You can see four men holding a corner of the bed, and they bring in this paralyzed man. They can't get in. They go up on the roof, start removing the tiling. One thing men don't like when they're preaching, and that's for somebody to interrupt them. Jesus doesn't seem to mind at all. They let him down. All eyes are on what's going on here. And Jesus is trying to teach the people, but they let this poor paralytic right down in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. I wondered, were those four men kind of disappointed? They'd gone to all this trouble to bring this pitiful paralytic to the presence of Jesus, and Jesus just says, your sins are forgiven you. Let me just say, there's no greater kindness Jesus could have rendered to this man than to forgive him of his sins. Had he not even healed him, he would have done far more for him than the healing of paralysis. After all, paralysis has to do only with this life. Sin has to do with eternity. But then, to show that he had the power to forgive sin, he heals him. Kindness in forgiving. Kindness in healing. Handicap. My brother-in-law just died about a month ago. I had not heard this story, but my sister, I got to talking to her about wanting to preach on kindness. My brother-in-law had dementia pretty bad. And he was totally blind. And before he got dementia, he was already blind, and he would go to his grandson's baseball game. A man saw that he was blind. He got a chair, moved it right up to the side of my brother-in-law, and gave him a play-by-play account of everything that was happening. If it was a fly out to center or right or left field, he would tell him about it. If it was a ground ball to the shortstop or the second base, if it was an error, whatever, he would tell him if it was a ball or a strike or whatever. He gave him all the details. He had never seen the man before. And when my sister told me that story, I thought to myself, would I have done that? I don't know that I would have even thought about it. with kindness to those who are handicapped. Jesus was kind to his mother. Go to John chapter 19. Look at verse 25. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Caring for his mother. And I need to stress this, I think, with you. Jesus is suffering. Suffering possibly more than any of us has ever suffered. It's hard to think to become kind to people when you're suffering. But Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when they come up and they're hurling insults at him, no insults come back. There's his mother, and he's concerned for his mother. And then there's the thief. "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Jesus knew kindness even when he was suffering tremendously. If your parents are still living, be kind to them. Spend time with them. Visit with them. I know when you go to see them, there's work needs to be done in the yard. There's work that needs to be done in the house. And when you go and you work and you do all that, that's fine. That's great. But take some time to sit with them and talk with them. They want to be with you. More than just seeing you out here working, they want to see you. They want to talk to you. They want you to talk with them. Be kind to your parents. I could tell stories of unkindness. I don't want to tell them. Of things that I've heard grown people do to their parents. And maybe this is the best time. Mary is not an old lady, as we think of it in our society. Jesus was about 33, but she probably was very young, as in that day, when she had Jesus. And she had older children, you remember. But this is a good time for us to talk about kindness to older people, especially to those who've lost their companions. And I can talk about this. Without it being self-seeking, because people are kind to me, and I'm busy, and I'm up here preaching, and I'm out here doing, what I'm saying doesn't really apply to me. But there are a lot of people who can't do what I do. They're not busy. They're lonely. Be kind to them. You could call them every once in a while and ask, "Is there something I can do for you?" I tell you what really would mean a lot. Do you know somebody who's lonely? You call and say, "We've got a pot of soup on. Would you come and join us for some soup? Or we're grilling some hamburgers. Why don't you come and eat a hamburger with us?" Now, taking the hamburger to them, well, that's good. Taking the soup to them, that's good. But then when they eat that soup, they've got to eat it all alone. And they eat all alone all the time. But when you invite them into your home, it gives them a time to have somebody else do it. That's far better. Now, if you're one of those older people, when you get through eating, if they say, "We're going to go in and watch a ball game. You want to go in with us?" Well, sure, go in with them. But if they don't have other plans, don't stay around till midnight. Just don't wear out your welcome, we sometimes say. be understanding of them. And then I need to say one more thing. Instead of you sitting at home, I'm talking to any of you who may be affected by what I'm saying, instead of you sitting at home wondering, why doesn't somebody do something for me? Why don't you think of somebody that's lonely? Call them. I'm grilling a hamburger. Why don't you come and eat a hamburger with me instead of waiting on somebody to do for you? Or meet me at the Heartburn Diner and I'll buy you dinner for you or whatever. Older people. I'm one of them. Not lonely, but I'm one of them. And I think I can speak knowing what it is to be kind to older people. Let me mention one more. And to the outcast. He spent time with tax collectors, sinners. Do you remember Matthew, after Jesus called him, made a feast for those that he had been associated with in tax collecting? Jesus went, ate with them. He was criticized, but he didn't. Turn to Luke chapter 19. Jesus is going through Jericho. You remember this story? Do you remember where he's going? This is toward the end of his life. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to die in Jerusalem. But he goes through Jericho. And there's this little short man. He's a tax collector. His name is Zacchaeus. He wants to see Jesus. He runs ahead, climbs a tree where he can see Jesus. Luke chapter 19. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. The outcast. He's a sinner. Why would he go on and go into his house? Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. If you have the New American Standard, it makes that in future terms. Not what he's already doing, but what he has resolved to do. I tend to think that's correct. And Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. Kind to the outcast. You know who the outcast are. People who just don't know how to do socially. I feel sorry for them. They never were taught as they were growing up how to conduct themselves socially. And so at a potluck dinner, they're the first ones to get in line, fill up their plate, they go sit down. Nobody wants to sit with them. What are you going to do? Criticize them for running ahead in the line? Or are you going to go and show them the kindness, the outcast? Now, I want to make one more point with you. Kindness tends to beget kindness. Turn to the book of Ruth. I was about to say maybe I can do this without turning, but I think we need to turn. Turn to the book of Ruth. Elimelech has taken his wife and two sons to Moab because of the famine. The two sons marry Moabitish women. Elimelech dies, so do the two sons. And Naomi is left with her two daughters-in-law. And she says to the two daughters-in-law when Naomi is going back to Bethlehem, you just stay here. I don't have any other sons for you to marry. The best thing for you is to stay here and marry men here. And that's all right with Orpah, but not with Ruth. Here are Ruth's words. Verse 16. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." A daughter-in-law kind to her mother-in-law. It's kind of interesting, when Naomi gets back to Bethlehem, she says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. I left full, but I've come back empty." She hasn't come back empty. She had Ruth, who's kind. Well, when they get back, they need some sustenance. So Ruth goes into a field to glean grain. That's the work of a poor person. And under the law, it was required that they not go back and harvest a second time. They were to go let the poor glean. And she ends up in the field of Boaz. And Boaz is kind to her, even though she's doing a poor woman's work. She would have been dressed probably in the poorest of clothes. But Boaz is kind to her and says, "Don't go into any other field. Reap in my field. And I've told my young men, don't touch her. And when you're thirsty, go drink from what has been drawn." And at lunchtime, he's kind to her. And he even tells some of them, let some of the grain drop on purpose so she can harvest it or glean it even more. She can't understand it. "Why are you being so kind to me?" Look at chapter 2. Verse 10, so she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to trust." Why is Boaz being so kind to her? Because she was kind to Naomi. It's hard to be kind to people without people being kind to you. Don't be afraid. Be kind. What does Luke 6:38 say? "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, and running over will be given into your bosom." Be kind to others. Do you remember the passage in Proverbs? No, it's in Ecclesiastes. "Cast your bread upon the water. It'll return to you." There was a good lady in Birmingham who said, "It'll return to you, it'll be buttered." You cannot be kind to others without others being kind to you. Love, kindness begets kindness. And we can see that in the story of Ruth and Boaz. I might tell you this, just by way of closing. I must have asked 7 or 8, maybe more people. When you think of kindness in the Bible, what story comes to your mind? And all but one said Boaz and Ruth. It's a beautiful story of kindness. I'll tell you the other one. My granddaughter said, "David's kindness to Mephibosheth." Well, I thought that was pretty good too. But Boaz and Ruth. Read it and learn kindness from Boaz and Ruth. Thank you for listening. I hope this helps us, and that our minds will be on what can I do to help others, to be kind to others. And Then you may wonder, well, why is everybody being so kind to me? Well, it just might be because you were so kind to others. If you're subject to the invitation, have you ever confessed Christ? Have you ever been baptized into Christ? Why not today? Follow him. He's a perfect example. Become a Christian. Have hope of eternal life. If you've fallen back, need to come back, made confession, do it. Do it now. We're interested in your soul. We would rejoice with you. We stand and sing.